Zero to Book is brought to you by Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing and sales podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
A lot of people aspire to write a book. Maybe you do, but you probably know it's a complex process. Zero to Book is documenting the journey from start to finish so you can learn how to take your book from an idea to a published product. Listen in as best-selling author Jeff Goins helps Pamela Wilson go from zero to book.
Jeff, I have to give you an update on what's been going on with this book I'm writing. So I'm kind of in the home stretch. I probably have about 25% to go. This is on the first draft, also known as the junk draft, according to you, right?
Yeah.
So it's, I have the finish line in my sights. This is very exciting. But I have to say, and I just want to check in with you to see if this is normal. I had this one day last Saturday where nothing came out. I mean, I think my total in Scrivener was like 368 words for the entire session. It was terrible. And there are lots of good reasons for that. I had gotten in late the night before, had been kind of running through airports the whole day before. And I think I was just tired, honestly. But I ended up making it somewhat productive. I went back and looked over what I had written before and I made some tweaks and things like that. But like, I got almost no words written, which kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, I don't think that should freak you out. My friend Joel, the editor, says that most of writing is thinking about what you're going to write, which sounds like the epitome of what Stephen Pressfield calls resistance or just, you know, all around slacking. But, you know, that's been kind of an important theme of your book. Just in general, you talked about the idea of calling it the Slacker's Guide to Content Marketing or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that thinking about writing sometimes is as valuable as writing. And there's basically two ways to write a book. There is the messy way, where you jump in and you just start writing and you see what comes, and then you figure out what the thing is about, and then you go back and rewrite it. A friend of mine, Diana Glyer, who's a scholar on C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, and she's written some really cool books about how they collaborated as creative people. I think she kind of follows this method. At least she used a term that I heard that I thought was interesting. She calls it the discovery draft. You write it to figure out what it is that you're trying to say. I think it was Flannery O'Connor who says, "I don't know what I think about something until I read what I say, read what I've written." And so that's, you know, that's one way of doing it. Writing as an act of discovery. I don't think it's bad. I think it's messy because you have to go back and go, oh, I wrote it this way. Now I've got to go back and figure out how to write it the right way. Speaking of Stephen Pressfield, he talks about this in his book, The Authentic Swing. And he says, typically what you want to do is you want to figure out what you want to say and you want to figure out the structure and the format and then write it. And then he admits that that's not how he wrote his first novel. And so there's the messy way. And this, and lots of us do that, especially with our first book. And then there's the structured way. And I think it's sort of an 80-20 thing. The messy way is you're going to spend a good chunk of time rewriting it. So you're going to spend 20% of your time getting it all down on paper. Then you're going to spend 80% of your time editing it to make it look right. That's the messy way. The structured way is to spend 80% of your time thinking, planning, plotting. And then you're going to sit down and you're really going to spend 20% of the time you allocated to write this book and you're just going to write it because you know exactly what it needs to say and how it needs to sound. And that doesn't mean you're not going to edit it. It doesn't mean there aren't going to be five drafts, but those drafts are going to come a lot more quickly because you're not trying to figure out what you're trying to say. You're just trying to say it right.
And so in my case, it's probably more of the latter, but I've definitely had some days where it's been the former. So there have been days that have been very structured and I knew which chapter I was working on and I just sat down and wrote it. But then there have been days that have just been messy. I mean, they're still productive, but not productive in the same way. And I guess that's just part of the process. I mean, what has been so interesting for me about this whole project is it's just a much longer term writing project than any other writing project I've ever done. I've never written this many words on one project. Mm-hmm. So it's a change. It's a change. And I guess within that whole experience, you have the opportunity to have days that are very productive and then you just have others that aren't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the thing is, we think that when we're writing, we're being productive. And when we're not writing, we're not being productive. When you are working on a book, everything from thinking about it to talking about it to writing it, and you need to do all those things. You can't just do one of them. You can't just go, hey, I had 18 conversations over coffee with friends this week and, and my book's getting written, right?
Right, right.
But at the same time, just locking yourself in a room and writing it is not always the way that you get your best stuff written. You know, we've talked about getting feedback from the community. So you've spent time reading comments from those 250 readers who are going through some of the sample chapters that you've shared with them. That's legitimate work on the book. And so all those things, talking about it, thinking about it, and actually writing it, I think all of that counts towards writing a book.
That's so reassuring to know. And it's a perfect segue into one of the questions I wanted to ask you. So speaking of talking about your book, so I spoke at an event here in Nashville this past week called Marketing United, and there were some big speakers at this event, you know, besides me, because I'm such a big speaker, but there were some recognizable names, and they had, as many of these events do, they had like a special side event just for the speakers, and it was on Tuesday night. So I spoke on Wednesday, and this happened on Tuesday night. And they did this event down on, you know, this street, Broadway in Nashville. It's like where all the honky-tonk bars are and lots of live music, and each honky-tonk has a bar in it. And it's a very Nashville place, right? So they did the event at one of the honky-tonks down on Broadway, and I saw Jay Baer there. So I have met Jay before. So I started talking to him, and of course, it's like super loud in there, right? And I'm going to be speaking the next morning. So I'm like yelling at Jay Baer. And the whole time I'm like, I really hope I have a voice tomorrow after all this. So, but anyway, he was there. He was going to be speaking and was talking about the process of signing books. So I thought this was really interesting. He said he figured out that he can sign 11 books per hour. He said, at one point, I needed to figure out how much time I needed to sign books. So I just timed it and I took an average. And I can, I'm sorry, not per hour, per minute. That would be really slow signing.
He's doing the thing where you like write on the whole first page.
You're like, oh, that must be like calligraphy or something, right? No, it was 11 per minute. But the funny thing is, I mean, 11 per minute is a pretty fast pace, I think. But he was saying, I thought this was funny. He was like, yeah, it's an advantage to have a shorter name. You know, Jay Baer. Sure. It's like fast to write. So. Yep. So he's telling me all this, and of course I'm sitting there, you know, listening to all this, and in my head I'm like, I want to tell Jay that I'm writing a book too. And I could not figure out how to fit it into the conversation without being like, oh, I'm writing a book, I'm writing. So I never did tell him. So that was one of the things I was going to ask you about is like, how do you smoothly fit that into a conversation so it doesn't sound awkward? I was thinking about getting a t-shirt made. I don't know. I'm writing a book. Ask me about the book I'm writing. Something like that. But, you know, might be awkward.
Yeah. I don't know. It is awkward. And I think, you know, if we're going to take this into a marketing conversation, we all know what it's like to be in a context where you see that guy or that girl like dropping their links to their product or talking about their thing. Not necessarily in rude or spammy ways, but just in sort of uncouth ways. And you're just kind of like, I mean, you're a savvy enough marketer to recognize this stuff by now, Pamela, where you go.
Yeah, no. And
shoot,
that's.
Dude, don't do that.
That's why I didn't say anything, because I just could not find a way to fit it in. And the one thing I walked away from was I was thinking, well, maybe once the book is out, you know, then I have stories to tell about, oh yeah, well I can, your name is Jay Bear, but my name is Pamela Wilson, so I can only sign six in a minute, you know, because my name is longer. I don't know. It just seemed to me like it would be less awkward to talk about it once it actually exists.
So, you know, the other thing I would say to that is, maybe not. I mean, there is a fine line between being that guy or that girl says, hey, I got a book, blah, 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 blah.
I know.
And nobody knowing about it. And I have been testing this with interviews and with articles. And I've noticed that when I mention my book in an article or an interview, the book will sell better. I'll see it. Mm. I mean, I'll see it the
you
next
can
day.
See a bump.
Reflected on the Amazon rank,
yeah.
Which every author checks. What I've noticed is when I don't do that, it matters. And as somebody who interviews other people, I hear it done well and I hear it not done well. And so I think, when do you talk about your book? What before it exists? I think you talk about it when it's actually relevant to the conversation and you're not trying to get something out of that experience. So in that context, I think you could have very easily said to Jay, hey, Jay, I heard you say such and such. I'm actually working on a book and that was really helpful to me because it's going to help me do such and such. I don't know if it was.
That's an interesting angle. Yeah.
Because, you know, you're a speaker and I'm sure you've had the experience. You've had that with this podcast and you've had it with, you know, your blog and with working on content with Copy Blogger, where somebody comes up to you or leaves a comment or sends an email and says, hey, Pamela, when you said this, it made me do such and such. Thank you for that. And I don't know about you, but I love that. I love somebody
those
says,
are the best comments.
Yeah. Not just, hey, you're cool and I like what you say, but hey, you're cool. I like what you say. Nice hair, by the way. And
it helped me.
It helped me do this. It helped me launch a product, write a book, do whatever. And I'm sure, you know, Jay would have appreciated that. And it's a little bit of like, there's nuance to it.
Right.
You know, when I posted this thing on Instagram that I got from Mitch Joel, another author, and it was like a little cartoon and it's of an author signing books. And this person comes up, you know, to that author and says, hey, here's my book. And I said, this is totally how it goes. You're at a book signing copies of your book that other people are hopefully buying. And people come up to you and say, hey, here's my book, you know?
Right.
And I posted that and some people were like, you know, but you're inspiring people to write books and yada, yada. And I go, yeah, it's fine. I thought this was funny. This happens. It doesn't bother me. But it's probably not like the best way to let people know about your book. Like the best way to behave when you're standing in line for, forget about me, for anybody, for Pamela Wilson's book, when you're standing in line for her to sign the book that she wrote for you, like that interaction should be all about her. It should be all about how can I let this author know that their work matters to me? Because that's just respectful. But through that experience, you know, I wrote a book called You Are a Writer. So when somebody comes up to me and says, hey, your book helped me realize that I'm a writer and I wrote this book and here's the book, I go, that's awesome because that was the point of this, right?
Right, right.
So, you know, I mean, I think it depends on the context and you've got to have a little bit of social tactfulness. But I think there are ways to let people know about the work that you're doing that it doesn't look spammy because there's two sides to this. There's the spammy side and then there's the meek, oh, you know, just little old me, I'm going to hide.
Well, yeah. And that's the worst thing, honestly. That extreme is not anything to aspire to either because once in a while it happens and, you know, it's happened to me and it's happened to people I know that they have a product that solves a problem or they have a book that answers a question. And people say, I didn't know you had that product. I didn't know you had that book. And I mean, that's when it's really the other extreme that you obviously have not even created enough awareness that people know that something exists.
Yeah. And so when I'm doing like an interview or something or writing an article, I used to not do that. I was like, oh, it'll be in the byline and people will find it. And when I've pulled it out of the byline and put it in the body of the article, it makes a difference. But I think there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And what I've realized is if I'm writing about something and I spent 2 years thinking through this idea, fleshing it out, researching it, and editing it in the most concise way possible, and then put it in a book, then it's okay to say, in my book, talk about this, and here's the idea that's in the book, so that you're actually generously sharing stuff that people would otherwise have to pay to get. And you're saying, hey, in the book, I talk about such and such. I went through this idea, and here's what I learned. You know, now on with the rest of the article. So I think there's an appropriate way to do it. I don't think you just need to be endlessly name dropping the title of your book when it's irrelevant, because then people are going to go, I don't care. I mean, that's sort of like rule number one, or rule number two of marketing. Rule number one is maybe you got to have trust. And rule number two is to be relevant.
Right. Don't be annoying.
Yeah. If it's not relevant to the conversation, it doesn't really matter that you wrote a book. But in this context, if you went to Jay and said, that's super helpful, I'm working on something and that really helped me, you go, oh, cool, what are you working on? And, you know, then you get a chance.
And then I have to confess that my book doesn't have a name yet. So I'm working on a book with no name, Jay. Once I have a name, I'll let you know.
Well, every book has no name until it does.
Yeah. Right. Well, the other news is that what I spoke about at this event was basically content that was pulled directly from concepts that are going to be in the book. And I lost count of how many people came up to me afterwards and said, this was the best session at this event. Thank you so much. So that was awesome to get that kind of feedback. It was like, I'm getting the feedback in the book factory, but this was like live people who had just seen me speak. So that was helpful. Mm-hmm. And the book factory is up to 300 people. So let's go ahead and plug that now. It's bigbrandsystem.com/book-factory-join. And there are 300 people in there who are reading my first draft of my book and giving me comments that have been super helpful. So if you're listening to this and you're interested, log in. It's free. Just register and you can get access to all of that. So the other thing I want to ask you about, we talked about editors in the last episode. And my plan as of now is to finish this first draft in the next few weeks. And then I actually have my mastermind group coming here to Nashville for a retreat in mid-May. And we do this retreat every year, and it's always a different number of people who end up coming. Some come from, we have a member who's in England. So some people come from pretty far away, and then some are closer. But it's always a different number of people. And this year, it's going to be a small retreat. It's just three of us. And it just so happens that all three of us are working on books right now. So we made that the theme of our mastermind retreat. It's going to be work on your book, talk about your book, catch up, get feedback, all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited about that. So my plan is to get the first draft done before then, and then to work on the second draft. So, and I just want to run this by you so you can poke holes in it if there are any problems with it, but my plan is to go through all those notes that the wonderful people in the book factory have left me and to plug those in and then put together a second draft. And I'm thinking that that second draft is what will go to the structure editor, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So, when we talk about the five drafts and which one you should be working on, so, you write the junk draft, that's draft one. And then as you move to each next draft, you're talking about, the existing draft that you have. So the junk draft is just you and the blank page. Then, you do draft two. That becomes the structure draft. So this is when you start structuring things, getting things to look good. And that, turns into the rough draft, which at that point, that's the work in progress. That's when you can start getting feedback. You can always get feedback on all of these pieces. Like I just sent a junk draft of my, recent book to just a piece of it, a third of it to the editor at my publisher. And I said, yeah, the structure's all wonky and this and that, but it'll give you an idea of what I'm working on and just let me know if you see something I don't see as I'm still trying to figure out what the structure is. So, it's interesting. I mean, each of these drafts don't necessarily have defined endpoints because you're constantly tweaking the thing. But once you've got a structure, you know, you kind of know where you're at. You go, okay, I've got a structured draft, but I don't need to be worrying about, you know, this, that, or the other thing. It gives you an idea of what kind of feedback you should be asking for at different levels. That's why when I sent the junk draft to my editor, I said, look, like chapter one is 3,000 words, chapter two is 7,000 words. Obviously, that's like probably not the best flow for the reader, but I didn't know what to do with this other stuff. I'm still trying to figure out structure. Let me know what you think.
Mm. So you're asking for very specific feedback depending on what stage you're at, it sounds like.
Absolutely. I think that's the whole point of the five draft process, the method, is that each draft has a different objective. And when I figured this process out, it was just sort of in my head. But when I figured it out, it was because a friend of mine sent me his junk draft and he said, can you edit this? And I said, it's not time to edit this. It's time for me to get on the phone with you and ask you what you're trying to accomplish, figure out what the right structure to accomplish that is, and then for me to give the book back to you and say, okay, write that because it's not there yet. You know, you're worrying about what kind of indent to use on page two when you need to be worrying about, is this a five-chapter book or a 10-chapter book? Does it have two parts or three parts? Does it have a narrative arc or is each chapter a standalone, you know, sort of piece? And on and on and on.
Nice. Okay.
So I think it's really important that if you guys share your work with each other, you say, here's where I'm at and here's what I'm looking for. I mean, this is just, to me, this is masterminding 101 in general. Say, here's my need that I have. Here's the thing that I'm working on. Here's what I need from you on, you know, in terms of feedback. And it's best if somebody actually clarifies. I always clarify if somebody's asking me to edit something or look at something. What is it that you want me to speak into? You know, do you want me to talk about your typos or do you want me to talk about the flow or do you just want me to tell you if I think this is a good idea? Those are all different, you know, different ways of editing too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure. Okay. And then proofreading, I'm thinking happens toward the end.
At the end.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Good. I mean, typically to remind the listener, it's junk draft, structure draft, rough draft, surgery draft, last draft. So, you know, junk draft is you're just getting it down on paper. Structure draft is you're figuring out what fits together. So it's okay for you to just dump words on the paper, especially if you're one of those messy writers. And then, but by draft two, you need to have some sort of structure. By draft three, you've really got something that you could hand around to people, turn into a publisher, something that you can then edit. This is what we typically call, you know, I call a work in progress. It's an actual manuscript. Then there's the surgery draft. So this is where you're getting pretty close to finishing it. And that's when you start cutting things, not adding things, cutting things. And you're probably going to cut and add, but the idea is you're trying to get it down to, you know, its bare essentials. And then and then you get to proofreading, right? So everything up to draft five is, which is the last draft, is about content. And then the last draft is about flow and word choice and, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
Right. Okay. And somewhere in there, I'm thinking somewhere around the third draft, I'm going to be contacting this illustrator I want to work with to see if he can make some suggestions and maybe give me a price on illustrating some of these concepts. So, but that's, I know that's probably not something you've done for any of your books, but I have a background in publication design. So I'm comfortable with that piece of it. And I've already spoken to him, so I just have to see if that works out. I would love to include that, though.
What kind of? So I have done that before. I wrote a book, a memoir, and it was just a little bit of illustration, but I had an artist friend of mine. I commissioned her to illustrate each chapter. Like the beginning of each chapter had a little illustration on the, like, title page of the chapter two, and then
that's kind of what I have in mind.
Cool.
I mean, there are some content illustrations that I'll be able to do myself, but this guy is awesome. I mean, he has done illustration work for like Nickelodeon, and I mean, he's got this really cool style. And when in my previous career, when I was doing publication design, I commissioned him a couple of times for magazines that I was designing to do work for the magazine. So he's a joy to work with. So I'm hoping it will work out and I can include those in the book. It'll be a nice way to break up the information. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm thinking it needs to be somewhere around the third draft because you kind of have to have the structure nailed down if you're going to be commissioning illustration work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, unless you're doing like, you know, Chris Guillebeau just came out with a new book. And by the time the listener listens to this, we will have gone to his book launch event, although that's happening tonight for us.
Yeah, you're hosting it. So I'm going to look at you from across the room. I'm going to be in the audience. I know that guy.
Right. but his books have that. At least The $100 Startup had it, which was cool. And this most recent book has it as well. And Born for This. And in instances like that, where you're illustrating every few pages, or if you've got like a tweetable quote kind of thing in your book and you want the illustrator to grab like that wordsmithed piece, it may be something that you wait to the fourth or fifth draft when you really have everything wordsmithed. But if you're just trying to get illustrations for like the big idea of each chapter, that's probably not going to change significantly after draft three.
Yeah. And I can probably do that wordsmithing design myself, you know? Sure. So I'll have to think about that, but I'm excited to see if I can get that to work as well. So, and then where to look for editors? Where does one look for editors? Do you just ask your author friends who you hopefully have?
I think so. I mean, okay. I think this is not something that you go to Elance for. No offense to the editors who are out there on Elance or, you know, Craigslist or whatever, but every book is so unique, you know? So somebody who edits fiction is obviously going to be different from editing nonfiction, but even in a specific genre, there's different approaches, you know?
Right.
The way Chris Guillebeau writes a book is different from the way Malcolm Gladwell writes a book or the way you write a book. And so somebody who understands what you're trying to do and can help you get there, I think is really important. And the job of an editor is very, very important. And so what you want is you want to reach out to, either somebody who just has an incredible reputation and you just go, man, it would be a dream to work with them. I love what they've worked on, which, you know, editors don't get a lot of the spotlight. So a lot of times you don't realize that, you know, a lot of the same editors are behind many of these great books that we all love. But that's certainly true. But yeah, I think you ask authors whose work you admire and whose work reflects maybe what you aspire to be in some ways, although yours is obviously going to be different, and ask them who they've worked with, what they've liked about it, and so on.
All right. Well, I'm going to make a beeline toward Jeff Goins at this event tonight to ask him which editor he's worked with. So be prepared.
We'll give you a name.
No, and I know that there will be other authors there, actually. So I may use tonight's event to see if I can get some names, get in there and take names of editors. So because that's the next step.
Yeah, and I think using this podcast as an opportunity to share about that process. Like here's how you find a good editor. Here's how to avoid a bad one. And documenting that, I think, will be really useful to listeners as well.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you again, Jeff. It has been, as usual, a very informative and fun time during this podcast episode. And I do want to remind people, you can give us a review in iTunes. We would love to hear your feedback. And we'd love it if you would rate the podcast, because that helps other people to find it. All right, Jeff, so I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thanks again.
You bet. Thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to hearing more from folks who are listening to this and what they're working on. So please don't hesitate to let us know what this show is helping you work on and what your own zero-to-book process is like.